We're still in chapter 1, so if you're new, you haven't missed out too much. And so we're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 through 8. And the title of this message is The Transforming Faith in Christ. The Transforming Faith in Christ. And I talked about verse 1 and 2 a couple weeks back. Or is it last week? I'm not sure what week I talked because I just came back from Singapore. And I've been jet lagged. This morning I woke up at 3 in the morning and I could not go back to sleep. So if I fall asleep on you, that's why. Okay? So Colossians chapter 1 verse 3 says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people." The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the way the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been growing among you since the day you heard it, truly understood God's grace. You learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in Christ in the Spirit. Amen. I just butchered that scripture, but please read it on your own. Amen. Try to read Colossians so that if I butcher it, you still know it. Amen. How many of you are new to our church today? Raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Raise it high. We won't bite you. Hello. How you doing, everybody? Okay. Please join us. I want to just ask you a question as we start this idea of faith in Christ. And do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Has there been a point in your life where you made a willful, emotional, cognitive decision that Jesus died for your sins and that you entrust in Him your whole life, that He's your Savior and Lord? You know, in the old days, they used to ask the question a little more abruptly, and they would ask, "Do you know if you were to die right now, you know, if you were to die right now, if you would go to heaven, right? If you were to die right now, you would go to heaven." And I remember one time I was on a plane, and the plane was going, it was a lightning storm, and it was just doing a roller coaster thing, and there was a girl sitting next to me, and that was the best time for me to ask her, "If you were to die right now..." Because it was scary. We were doing that for like 30 minutes, and she was like, "I'm not sure." And actually, I got to talk to her about it. She didn't receive Christ, but you know, it was an amazing adventure on that plane. Maybe even a more aggressive is, "Do you know where you're going to spend eternity?" I know some people don't like this kind of question. Do you know if you're going to be with God in heaven or separated from God into eternal destruction? Do you know where you are? Well, what we find out about the Colossians was they knew Jesus Christ. Their faith was genuine, and it was transforming their life. And we know that they were people who knew Christ, because in verse 4, Paul says, "Because we have heard your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people." We have heard rumors of this faith that was growing and how it was being shown by the love that you have for other people. And actually, that's how faith is shown. Not just, you know, just by disciplines, but that it actually is manifested in loving other people. And then verse 6, Paul says this, "Just as it has been doing, the gospel, as it's been spreading and changing, the true gospel has been spreading and changing the world," he says, "doing among you since the day you heard it." And then in verse end of verse 6 says, "truly understood God's grace." Okay? Now I know you know this, but I'm just going to review. Being a Christian does not mean how much you attend church or not. You are not a Christian because your mom or dad was a missionary, a pastor, an elder, a deacon, or even a serious believer in Jesus Christ. Right? Being a believer means that you understood the grace of God for yourself, that He died for you, and that you trust in Him, as Paul says here, that your faith is in Christ Jesus, and it is manifesting, it is transforming things, it's transforming your life, it is spilling over to other people through the love of Jesus Christ, that something is happening in your life. And I've said this many times in our church, the worst thing to happen is for a Christian to live a life that is so stagnant in their faith. And all this faith in Jesus Christ is about going to church, you know, or doing religious services, you know, or volunteering. All those things are important. We want you to be at church. We want you to volunteer. We want you to help us take care of these little kids who are so cute, right? And do a lot of other things. We want you to join the band and the welcoming team. There's a lot of work our church needs. But sometimes we get stuck in that. And what Paul is going to look at in this introduction is, man, if you really have faith in Christ and it's growing, something will start manifesting outward and inward, right? And I'm going to tell you right now, the best way to be a Christian is to let this gospel keep transforming you. If that is not happening in your life, I can say it is one of the biggest burdens in life. It's about going to church. It's about trying to show your spirituality. It's about trying to look holy. But when Christ is really changing your heart and your life, it starts spilling out. And that's kind of what I want to look at. Some of evidences or manifestation as we are in Christ. And if we are understanding this grace of God, and that understanding and that relationship with God is actually actively working in your heart. So these aren't, you know, like the end all manifestation if God is working in your life. But I do see it in this particular text as Paul describes Colossians. You know Jesus. You know? You have faith in Christ. You understand this grace that's been changing the world. You understand this and it's changing you. And here are some things that I see Paul writing in this simple introduction that shows, man, when somebody is growing in Jesus, going deeper and there's change happening, it manifests outward and inward in some special ways. And one of it is, I think, in verse 4, he says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Paul says, I hear your faith is growing, and I thank God for that. Now, you have to understand, almost every letter Paul wrote, he always thanked God for the faith that, you know, Philippians had, you know, that the, other books that he wrote had, right? There was only one book that he wrote, one letter that he wrote that he actually did not start with thanksgiving. Even Corinthians, that had huge sin problems and disunity, he actually said, I thank God for the faith that I see in you. But you guys have problems. There's only one letter that he did not start off at all with thanksgiving. Does any Bible scholar in this room know what that letter is? All right, forget it. I think some of you know, but I know you don't want to boast, okay? That letter is Galatians. Paul, when you read the letter of Galatians, he doesn't thank God for nothing. He says, Galatians, you got a problem, right? There's something going wrong in your, congregation. He goes right for the jugular vein. But what's special about Colossians is that he starts this way because that was part of how he introduces. But when you read through Colossians, there is an extra layer of thankfulness that Paul says. And he says that because he says, I see you guys are growing and you're transforming in Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, when you grow, when you hunger for Jesus, other people get blessed. Right? Other people start to get inspired. You know why? Because everybody wants to see Jesus with skin on. You know? It's great to see someone who reads the Bible, listens to it, obeys it, and they're practicing it in their life. And you're like, wow, that guy is growing. That sister is growing. The way that they're raising their children is really biblical. And it's actually working like the Bible declares. And when that faith is going deep, you get inspired and you're thankful. Have you ever met people like that? Because I'm going to tell you, when there's people like that in the church, and I want to tell you, for those of us who are here, you inspire other people. Now, we don't need to do this to inspire people, but when you are hungering and loving Christ and really letting the gospel transform you, you'll hear others say, man, I'm really blessed by you. I'm really thankful for you. Just like Paul says to this Colossians, I thank God for the faith that I hear about how you're practicing. And I really want to thank God for GCC because if you're new to this church, this is not a perfect church, but there are a lot of people here that really want to live for Jesus. and we stumble and fall, but I really believe there are many here that want to live for Christ. And if you want to join together in this, please join us. And let's have thanksgiving because God is changing us and continue to work in us. You know, I took a team this summer to Thailand. And I realized some of the team people that I took, I've known them for like 12 years, but I probably spent the most time with them in that 8 weeks, or not 8 weeks, 8 days or something, you know, where it's 24/7 and I got to see how they, I don't know, do stuff and really like it's something, that's one thing about these trips, you spend that extended amount of time and it was great. And one of the things I was so encouraged was the faith I saw in all the teammates, you know. I have to tell you, I've known them for a long time, and there were times I was like, are they okay? But as I spent quality time with all the teammates, the mothers and the fathers, the married couple, and one single lady. It's an inside joke, because the single lady was my daughter. I was so blessed by genuine faith. It wasn't perfect faith, but it was a faith that wanted to grow. And I was so thankful that I am part of a church that there are people like that, that they really want to grow in Jesus Christ. You know, I was just thinking about this idea of thankfulness, of seeing somebody grow. And a lot of times what happens is we want them to grow more and more, and we forget how much they've grown. And even though they're struggling, how much they still want to grow. And I'm going to tell you, we may not become holy in a day or a month or a year, but it's awesome to be part of a church. There's transformation happening. People are changing. What they used to be, they're not. They're not where they want to be. But they're moving towards that. Ooh, that could be a line. I can preach that for a while. Amen? I'm not going to. All right? What they used to be, they're not. But, you know, okay, I'll stop. All right? And I was just thinking of this guy who came to our church. And he was running away from the Lord. Some of you might know him better than others in this room. And he was running away from the Lord. He had grown up in a Christian home. But he decided around 18, 19 to say no to God. Ran away. Went into the army. Lived a wild life, right? He doesn't even tell me all the wild things he did. Sometimes he gives me a little bit of hints of what he did. His name is Pastor Chris Chen, and I did not ask his permission. But if you're on my staff, I'm allowed to use anything in your life, okay? Other than super sensitive stuff. And you know, this guy came to our church, and after the army, he became a believer. And I don't know if there's anything that we did better or more. I think God had him ready, and when he got it to our church, he became a believer, and he started changing and changing and changing. And I saw him change, you know, as Pastor, you know, Kurt and Malon and others invested into him, and, you know, and then he actually wanted to go to seminary. And, you know how it works in my church, our church here. He said, Pastor Young, I'm thinking of going to seminary. And I said, okay, bro, but I don't trust you. Yeah, I know. You're like, oh my gosh, what kind of church is that? I just, you know, like, well, I don't trust you. I have to see how you are, you know, and we'll see how it all turns out. And I told him to pray about it, and we thought through it, and man, I've seen him change. I mean, he has a lot more to change, but I've seen him change. And he's actually now leading the Crossroad, which is scary. But it's an evidence of God's grace. And I can tell you many other stories. Some of you are in this room. I can talk about your before Christ moments. Who should I pick on? I will not, okay? But it's awesome to be a church that there are people that are transforming. Because that's what faith in Christ is about. Okay? God wants to change you. God wants to make you more like Jesus. And you're changing life will bring thanksgiving and blessing to God from others. So that's what Paul says. And then second, God wants to develop character in your life. Paul, in this text, says this in verse 5. He says, the faith and love that spring from hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel. He points out three amazing evidences of our Christ faith in Christ, of our relationship with God that is being transformed, that is transforming. He says, I see faith in you. I see the love of God in you. And I see the hope of Christ in you. When you actually look through the Bible, these three things pop up so many times. Faith, love, and hope. This should be one of the marks of your faith in Christ. The more we're in love with Christ, the more we let Jesus love us, the more we say yes to His ways and not our ways, faith will grow. Love will grow. And we become men and women of hope. And I want to tell you, in this last generation, these last days, we need more people that could hope against all hope. There's so many people that's going up and down in their hope. And some of us need to stand firm in Christ and really dig deep in hope. I just want to talk a little bit about these three things. Number one, faith. All right? Faith is a gift from God. He gives you the gift of faith. We would not understand the gospel or the grace of God without the gift of faith. But that gift needs to be activated by our heart and by the Holy Spirit. My prayer is you understand Jesus, because God's gift of faith has been awakened to you, that Jesus really died for you. But after that gift of salvation, trusting in Christ, because God has opened our eyes. Yes, we wanted God to open our eyes, but He has been working in our lives and God has opened our eyes. After that initial gift, that gift can be developed. That's why Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There is a responsibility of your faith, and that faith grows with obedience and risks. Okay? When God says for you to do something that doesn't make sense, but it's in the Bible and counsel of wise people, and you take the risk and you say, you know what? I'm going to do this, even though I have fear and I'm not sure. I'm going to do this because this is the way of the Scripture. And when you take that risk and you obey, your faith grows. You see miracles. You see great things happen. When you don't exercise obedience and risk, your faith stagnates. And any faith that stagnates will start to shrink. Okay? Faith either is growing or it's shrinking. I mean, there is a moment of what it seems like a stagnation, but once it stagnates, it will start to shrink. How is your faith doing? Are you obeying? Are you taking risks for Jesus Christ? Second, he says love. And love is an amazing thing. We all need more love. Amen? You don't? I do. I'm like a love monster. I want more love, you know. And when my kids were little, I expressed my need for love to hug them. And so I hugged them like crazy. And, it was a hug fest of love when they were really, really small and cute. Now they're big and I'm not sure if I want to hug them anymore. But love, right? But this love is not that. This love is talking about God's love. And it says that you will grow in love. You will be marked by God's love. And I want to tell you right now, I don't know how else to tell you, but if you are in Christ, God has opened the door for your relationship with God the Father, and He has a lot of love for you. Okay? More than you could imagine. It was demonstrated on the cross. When He let His Son die on the cross, He was opening up the gates of heaven saying, I want to love you while you are yet sinner, while you're still not perfect, while you make mistake, while you raise your fist again, I still want to love you. And I've said this so many times in our church. All the things that we seek out of pleasure and things that we seek because we're lonely, all these emptiness is supposed to be filled by the eternal love of the Father. Okay, even the love we didn't receive from our biological parents or our adopted parents or our friends, that still could be healed by the love of the Father. Okay? I'm not sure how to express this to you, but this Father's love never runs dry. Okay? And no matter how much your faith has developed and how much you felt loved by God, there is more. There's more and more And, you know, as I've been sharing, I'm 53 and I've shared so many times, I've never doubted that God loved me. But in my last 3 years, I'm like, wow, He loves me more than I ever thought He loved me. It's like, man, how much can He love me? I mean, I've had so many moments emotionally, spiritually, where I just stopped and I was just you know, I've been crying too much in a good way. I'm like, oh God, He really loves me. It's so healing. I wish that upon you because He's there. The Father is, you know, I'm not special. I really am not. I'm sure up in heaven, most of the time, God's going, oh God, that young, oh man, I don't know what to do. I just love him. And He has that for you. This is what's amazing to me. I love my kids. And I say this so many times. But God loves me more than I could ever love my kids. And my kids don't know how much I love them. Those brats who are no longer at my house. Who are everywhere but does not call mom and dad. Only when they need something. I still love them. Even though I call them brats. But to imagine that there is a Father that loves me more is unimaginable, but He does. And then this love, it says that this is the love that we should love others with. And actually, Pastor Eddie kind of talked about it. Loving others is not about your giftedness or your niceness or your goodness. Some of you in this room are really nice people. Praise God for nice people, amen? God, it's just bad to hang out with nasty people. People with attitudes, you know. It's really good to have some nice people. But you know what? God didn't say, love others with my niceness or your goodness. No, God said, love them with my love. You need to be loved by God, filled with His love, and that love will overflow. Sometimes when I'm loved by somebody who is kind and gentle and nice, I'm so thankful for people like that. And God will fill them and use them in their ways. But man, have you ever sometimes encountered some person you thought, oh, this guy, excuse the word, is such a J word. Jerk. All right? And he's changing and he's loved by God. And he loves you with that love. Powerful. Okay? This love that God is talking about is not what we can generate. It's about what we can receive and what we can overflow. And he says, that's the mark you can have. No matter what your personality or your niceness, I'm not talking about that. God is saying, your love could come from me and it could overflow. You can love people that you are so annoyed by because my love could fill you. And then hope, he says. Hope is a trademark. The scriptures say, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you can have hope. Even though you're downcast, you can have hope by trusting in God. Hope is so powerful. And we have hope only because, I know this is such a Christian jargon, because of Jesus. All right? He lives in you. He died for you. He will never abandon you. See, most of the time why we lose hope is because we gauge our hope on circumstance. And we say, you know what? If my circumstance is good, I have hope. My grades are going well. That girl likes me. My kids are doing well. My health is well. I have hope. But when those things are taken away, I don't have hope. If you live your life on the hope of circumstance, man, you're going to go through some roller coaster rides. Up and down and up and down. But Jesus says, no, you put your hope in me. Okay? And then it's interesting what Paul says. A hope that comes from heaven. Hope that is heavenward. Right? One of the reasons we don't have hope is we are so bound up by this world now. Right? This world is important. Your job is important. Where you are is important. But the Bible says if you are in faith in Christ, we live for eternity. Right? We live for something greater. And so many of us are so depressed because we look at life and we compare ourselves about this world and we say, you know what, this world defines me as if I'm nothing. I don't have that job. I don't have that family. I don't have that health. You know, I don't have the finances. I am a loser. That's why I'm hopeless. Why does that person is taller, smarter, faster, cuter? Even their kids are cuter than none of us would ever admit that, you know, because our kid is the cutest. Amen. My best friend, when we had Sarah, he was coming up the stairs, he goes, "Young, I'm your best friend. When I see your daughter and she's not cute, I'm going to tell you. She's ugly." You know, I'm like, what kind of friend is this? You know, he was only in his 20s, so, you know, he's like, bleh. Anyway, he gets up, right, and he sees my daughter. He goes, "Oh, she's so cute." Don't ever, ever say anything else to little babies, amen? They are all cute, amen? In the eyes of God, except for the Seinfeld episode, if you've ever seen that one. Okay. Anyway, why am I talking about that? All right? Hope, all right? I hope. Now I lost my place, okay? Hope. Yeah, I think we lose hope because what happens is we gauge circumstance and we gauge about this world, but God says, no, your life has hope because you're going to make an impact in this world and eternity. And if you can see the economy of God into eternity and that God, Jesus Christ, is with you, if you can see through spiritual eyes that your life in Jesus will make an eternal impact, you will always have hope. I'll guarantee you, the reason you don't have hope and is that you and I keep seeing and comparing through the eyes of men and not seeing that there's a Heavenly Father that has a special purpose for you. Most of you here know me very well. And I think in the last year you got to know my mom a little well, more because I talked about her a lot, you know, especially because she passed in March. When you look at my mom in worldly eyes, she never had money. She had bad health because 5 years of her life she was struggling with Parkinson's. She was not famous. And I don't mean to say this in any kind of dishonor, but her marriage with my dad was really rough. And in some ways, you may say, man, that's not much in the world. What kind of impact does she have in the world? How about spiritual impact? You know, I became Christian before my mom. I actually try to help her to pray more. I try to ask her to read the Bible more. And in fact, one year she copied the New Testament word by word on a notebook. She really didn't teach me how to read the Bible that much or pray. But as she passed, her life stamped something in my heart. And that is, she was a servant. And I shared this at her funeral. All her life, she served her children, and especially me, without grumbling. Even to her last breath, she was thinking about me and my kids, and she was serving. And there's other things that was flawed about my mom, and there's other beautiful things about my mom. But one thing that stamped into my heart, I felt like God was saying by her life and her death was, young, here's an example of Mark 10:45. Jesus Christ did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And in your last days, you need to serve people. You need to die, and you need to bless people. I want to share that because I feel like in the eyes of men in this world, my mom did not do much. But I really believe in the eyes of God, at least she taught her son to be like Jesus by the way she lived her life, by serving me. Don't underestimate your life. If you are a child of God, don't let other people and circumstances dictate your hope. Okay? God Almighty lives in you. He's not done with you. Just because you can't find a job, just because you don't have the money that you want, or just because you feel like things are going wrong, God Almighty lives in you. Jesus, His Son, lives in you. Holy Spirit indwells in you. There is hope in you until your last breath. And the life that you live in Christ, if you hunger for Him, everybody else could say, what was that woman about? She came immigrated and was poor and lived poorly. You don't know what impact that's going to make. Because God has hope for you in Jesus Christ. Amen? Lastly, here in this text, in verse 7, it once again talks about Epaphras. It says, you learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in Christ. I've mentioned this many times. It seems that the church of Colossae was started by a man named Epaphras, who found Paul in Ephesus, at that time a much bigger, thriving city. He went to Ephesus and he came to know Christ through Paul, and he was in Christ, and Christ was overflowing and transforming. So this transforming Jesus, he took it back to his city. It seems like Colossae was where he was from, and he started talking to somebody. And as he was overflowing with joy and faith and hope and love, somebody became a believer. And another person became a believer. And a church was planted. And that's what this is happening. A church was planted. And this church was growing in Christ as I talked to you, right? And it was being thanked by others. Man, this church is growing in Jesus. That church is really about Jesus. I pray that for GCC and Canvas. And they have faith and hope and they have love. And I share with you that this year, my prayer is that more of us will be like Epaphras and let Christ overflow so that someone could encounter Jesus. You know, there's a lot of things I taught my kids about faith. I think I taught them to pray out loud. That's a style of praying. A lot of times in our family, we would have a prayer meeting. I would turn on the music, and I'd be like, Lord! And I'd run around. Every once in a while, my kids would be like, Lord! And stuff like that. That's just kind of the way I pray, you know. I think all three of them are kind of okay at speaking in public. You know, because they just see me do it, and some are a little better than others, and other one is a little confusing. But, you know, I don't know if they taught it or got caught it. But one of the things that I regret is I feel like in my later years, I didn't really help them to know how to share the gospel to those around them. You know, I was at this Singapore conference, and this pastor that I went to hear, I took Chad and my son and Pastor Paul Liu, who was, you know, he's our church planner at Singapore. We're there, and he was sharing all these divine appointments of how he felt like God was opening up doors so that he can have a chance to share about Jesus. And I remember through my high school years, I had those, and I shared the gospel. In my college years, I can tell you many divine appointments where I shared the gospel. And then even in my young adult years, there were a lot. But somewhere in my 30s, into my 40s, I don't know if it's fear, I don't know if it's Satan, but man, this door has to open. Because I want to tell you, God has divine appointments for you to talk about Jesus that is important in your life. Amen? You know, it was funny because as that pastor was talking about his divine appointment, all I could start seeing was the divine appointments that I missed. And I know that the Lord doesn't want me to sit there getting oppressed by this, but I was like, no, Lord, next time let me take it. I remember in my soccer team, you know, we were all done, and then we were, you know, like all, you know, celebrating at the sports bar, and all the other guys were, you know, drinking beer, and as you know, I don't, you know, drink, well, at least in public. Woo, what was that about? You know, but anyway, you know, I don't drink, and so I realized I didn't know what to do. Like, do you buy it and then drink it, or they were just drinking it and they're gonna pay later? I was like so confused. And one guy says, "Hey, you need to buy it for you?" I was like, "No," and I was just drinking water, and you know, and they all know that I'm a pastor because my email says Pastor Young, and my handle in my soccer team is Holy Man, all right? They call me Holy Man. Holy Man scored again. Holy Man did a great pass, something like that, right? And so, but one guy was like, he was like, really, like, we're opening up, and I was sharing, we're just talking about, he said, "Oh, you have a church?" And I was just talking to him, and you know, I didn't get into Jesus, but, you know, he was really opening up. And then the next season was coming up, and we had finished this game, and we got clobbered, and this guy's like, "Man, that stunk. Anybody want to hang out a little? And, you know, let's go chill. You know, we can go back to that sports bar and, you know, we can talk." And I like him, and I think he likes me. And a part of me was like, "Oh, maybe I should, you know, just hang out with him, you know," because he was opening up. But the problem is I'm very busy. And I go play soccer, and then if we win, I just slap people in the butt, and then I go home, you know. if we lose, I just go shamefully home, you know. I got a lot of things to do at home. And that was, time was one. And the other one is I personally am not very comfortable at bar scenes, at least this stage of my life. But at that point, I was like, "Oh, see you later." But I felt like, you know, I didn't have to go to a bar. You know, 40, 50-year-old bars are not like the 25-year-old bars. You know what I'm saying? It's like old people, like, "Hey, how you doing?" It's not, right? And I was like, man, that could have been another moment where I could go deeper with this guy. Can you pray for me? I want divine appointments that I let this Jesus I keep talking about in front of you come out to my neighbor, come out to my soccer friends, come out when I'm riding a plane. And I want to tell you about what God is doing in those areas, because that's a place I need a greater awakening. That's a place this church needs a greater awakening. Probably the only one that's pretty good at my family, even though I didn't teach her, is my daughter. She is good. She's talking to, you know, just tons of different people, you know, spiritual conversations. And I probably have to call her up and learn from her. But let's let Epaphras and what God was doing in him happen to our church. Amen? If Christ is in us, we got to be looking for divine appointments to share about Jesus. Maybe they'll come to know Christ. Maybe they won't. But that's up to God. Amen? All right, I wanted to show a video. I don't know if we can. We're going kind of long here. But it's about divine appointment. But I think, Todd White, he's crazy. You know, some of his theology I'm not 100% with. But his heart, amen.